What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
Jillian is really being a pain and a brat tonight, people. I'm going to warn you that right now.
Josh is being a pee-pee face.
Yeah, Jillian is just... She's all going all Beaker from the Muppets on me.
You know, whenever you talk, I hear wah, 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 wah.
All right, Charlie Brown's teacher.
And you said I'm being a pain in your ass, but I really think that's from all the ass raping you get from people trying to fuck the cynicism out of you.
Doesn't work. Speaking of ass raping, you can always go to adamandeve.com. Use the promo code what?
That's a horrible way to introduce it. We don't want to advocate ass raping.
But there's plenty of products on adamandeve.com using the promo code
for
what?
Consensual sex.
And yeah, but there's plenty of stuff to stick up your butt. You use the promo code what, and you get 50% off of something to stick up your butt or some other item. It doesn't really make a difference.
Consensually.
They'll also throw in 3 free DVDs, a free mystery gift, and they'll even cover shipping for the thing that's going to stick up your butt. People, do you see what I've been dealing with for the last hour while her computer's been kicking her?
Rape. People would be like, no, it's okay. Josh Hadley said I could.
Oh, yeah, because I've totally that influence.
I'm going to start my own show. It's going to be What the Josh, and it's just going to be like a 24-hour live stream of like Josh complaining.
And she's not going to sleep or anything.
Nope, don't need it. That's how much you infuriate me. My hate shall drive me.
Are you at the dark side now?
Yes.
This show is going to be a little atypical. Last week, we did sort of a whole segment dumbest thing. This week, we've got a ton of little things, some of which are serious, some of which are definitely dumbest things. I'm going to play the dumbest thing sounder just because this kind of applies to most of tonight, including
almost everything. Yeah. Some is pretty self-explanatory, like, all right.
Yeah, a couple of them were just going to basically tell you the story, and Jillian and I don't really need to go into much more detail than what the actual story is.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
So there, now that that's out of the way, the first one is a Hunterton man decided that he found an old artillery shell.
Two of them.
Two of them, but he only used one. So
nope, he used two. Read the article, dude.
He only
successfully. No, he said, dude, hooked on phonics did not work.
Only
for you.
It says, one
no,
blew
it
up.
It says in the article he successfully drilled the shells in one of the successfully drilled the holes in one of the shells. On the second shell, he was doing the same thing, and that's when it exploded.
Right, which only means that the one that blew up is the only one that's relevant to the story. The
no,
fact
it's not
that
he found two shells. You can't say he found a shell when he found two and did it successfully in one, because it does lead into the story that they could have supposedly been like dum-dums, like they have the necklaces, but that he thought they were empty, but then it turned out not to be.
If I'm going to be making a lamp out of an artillery shell, I'm probably going to be pretty goddamn sure that if I drill into it, I'm not going to hit gunpowder that's going to explode on me. And it exploded into
his... 73, dude.
Oh, so what? He's got Alzheimer's or he's lived a long life? Big deal, he's 73.
I'm just saying they don't... When you get older, you don't necessarily make the best judgments in situations depending upon your situation. Not that this person necessarily had a situation or not, but...
I'm going to go out on a limb and say he wasn't the brightest bulb out there, no pun intended to the fact that he was trying to make a lamp out of these, that he tried drilling into basically a bullet. You do not have to be top of the food chain to see that that's not a good idea. All right, now the next one is going to be that pretty much the self-explanatory one that Jillian and I brought up. A Swiss woman died after seeing a documentary called In the Beginning, There Was Light. So she decided that she was going to embark on a spiritual quest and give up food and water and live off of sunlight. I think you guys can see where the rest of this story goes, and it involves a coroner.
Step into the light, Carol Ann.
That was a terrible Zelda Rubinstein impression, by the way.
That's nice. I'm not really old.
Neither was Zelda Rubinstein. She was like in her 40s.
Oh, I'm not 40, so, and I'm not very, very, very small. But anywho, it was just a reference. I didn't have to do a voice, but I did. Josh is picking on me. Everybody send hate mail to him.
They do anyway.
Yay. I love you all. Oh, how long did it do it? Wasn't it like 50 days or something crazy where she shouldn't have survived that long?
Right. So the guy who made the documentary is basically trying to say he's trying to say he's lived like this for 70 years, which
bullshit.
Yeah, I'm calling major bullshit on
but
that.
My thing is, did the article say it was 50 days? Like, how? Because you were just telling this to me. How long did the article say that she sustained without food or water?
It says approximately 2 months. So
how is that possible? Because I believe after 4 or 7 days, your body goes into like...
Right. I'm going to think she cheated. I'm going to think she had a candy bar now and then or had rain a salad.
Water.
Yeah, I have a feeling she cheated. I don't think she...
Yeah, there's
literally
there's
no food, no water for 2 months. And the disturbing thing of why I think this is relevant to talk about just a little bit is the fact that this is not an isolated case. They've also had cases based on this same Indian guru moron. They've also had cases in Germany, Britain, and Australia. So it's not just this Swiss woman that is kind of fallen for this guy's bullshit, for lack of a better way to put it.
Well, essentially, if you look at, like, you know, the preachers that claim they can, you know, heal people and be like, you've been healed, you know, and people send them lots of money, or you've got the false prophets, things like that. Everybody who quit their jobs when they thought it was going to be the end of the world, and then they're kind of fucked because it didn't happen. And so, I mean, we're spending more time on this than intended, but essentially, yeah, self-explanatory. You need food and water to live, just so you guys know. Little pearl of wisdom to stick in your pocket for later.
The whole point of this show, Jillian, is to give people information like that. If you don't eat or drink, you will die.
Yup. Food is good. Water is good.
Humans cannot photosynthesize. That's not what we're made for.
Anywho, let us continue because there are topics more worthy of discussion than this one.
Well, next we're going to get to a 34-year-old woman who, the way Jillian put it, and I wish I'd been recording this, was after she read the story, blah, 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 fat whore.
Okay, no, okay. Fat whore in the essence of, like, everything she's done. I wasn't saying fat in correlation to what her picture was, but lots of prostitution, lots of drug and alcohol. Like, she's a biggins, but not just based on biggins alone. Like, she's, you know, the term big fat whore is essentially you whore yourself out more than normal whores. So I don't, anyway.
Well, and you know what's really creepy? Okay, I'm 37. She's 34. She looks like she could almost be my grandmother.
She looks older than mom, and I'm 30, and my mom looks good for her age.
Yeah, this woman has been ridden hard and put away wet every night since she turned probably 14.
It's like throwing a hot dog down a tire hole.
Yeah, so it's a woman from Tulsa, Oklahoma, who, after she had her 7th baby taken away from her after testing positive for cocaine, her only response was... What took you so long?
Just give the fucking kid up.
Yeah. I'm sorry. People like this, you should not have kids. I'm not, Jillian, I really am not one of those people that even jokingly says, you know, you should be licensed to be a parent.
Mm-hmm.
But then cases like this come up. And I go, but that would have stopped someone like her from being a parent. Because literally, all she did was fuck up.
Mandatory tube tying.
Yeah, all she did was fuck up all 7 of her children. She admitted to smoking marijuana, using cocaine, and alcohol every day during her pregnancy. There's no way that kid's coming up normal.
It's not just on this kid, it's every fucking kid they did this with. Like, as soon as she got pregnant, they should have done something about it. I mean, not that they could do a whole lot, but I don't know. I don't know what they could have done. I'm not versed in the laws of prenatal situations for druggies.
And it gets even worse. She doesn't even know how many different fathers there are. She thinks of her 7 kids, there might be 4 or possibly 6 different men that fathered the children.
You see that shit on Jerry Springer all the time, dude. People got like 4, well, back in the day anyway, now it's all weird stuff, weirder stuff.
But Jillian, that is just, really? What kind of a life do you have, woman? I mean, is that even a life?
You got a hook to pay for
all your drugs. Oh, just, I don't know. It angers me. We'll just put it like that. It angers me.
I think she just needs her boots to be tax deductible, so she is self-employed.
I think she needs her knees glued together, but then she still has a mouth, so. The next
anywho, essentially. Really, really bad person.
Yes, who fucked up 7 kids.
Yeah, she should be. Like, is she, like, did it say how long she's going to jail, or?
No, because she was just arrested, so she hasn't actually gone to court yet. Now, the next one, this is where Jillian and I are probably going to be on exact opposite sides of this. I think this was a dick move but I don't think it should be illegal. A woman was standing behind a guy. The security video looks like a convenience store. The place doesn't actually say where this took place.
Like a gas station or a quickie mart.
Right. The guy dropped $3,000 out of his pocket, which...
Well, it was in a wallet.
Yeah, but he said he had it to use for a car payment in case anyone's going, well, why the fuck is he walking around with $3,000 in cash? It fell out of his wallet, or his wallet fell out of his pocket. She picked it up. He didn't see it. She clearly saw him. He walked away. She is charged with theft. I'm saying, dude, if you don't notice that you drop $3,000, it's sort of, I mean, she didn't take it out of his pocket. She didn't cause him to drop it. Why is it her responsibility to go, excuse me, sir, you dropped this?
Because it's still theft. You saw somebody drop something and you took it. It's not yours. I know some states have the Good Samaritan law thing where if you see an actual crime happening, you don't do anything, you can be arrested as well. I don't know what this particular state has law-wise. However, it's not a situation of, hey, I found a wallet on the ground. It's blatantly you saw it fall and you snatched it up. I mean, that's wrong. And I believe even in a lot of states, if you do find a certain amount of money or you find a wallet or something, if it has over a certain amount, you are legally obligated to turn it into the police department. And then you have to wait the, I think it's like 60 days or whatever. And if nobody claims it, but again, I mean, come on. Yeah, it's a dick move, but I think it's still theft.
And see, I don't.
I fall from the person.
I think what she did is was a very dick thing. It was a very sleazy thing, but I don't think it was an illegal thing.
Granted, yes, if I had $3,000 cash on me, I'd be, you know, locking that shit to my thigh. However, I'm sorry. She saw it fall out of his pocket and she picked it up. I mean, for all you know, he could have, you know, looked back, or he could have, you know, gone and checked as soon as he, you know, got out of the store or what have you. You know, I'm sorry. It's she saw him drop it. They were in a line. It's not just, oh, did somebody drop this? And then she took it. It's blatantly someone dropped it.
Well,
like, right in front of you.
I mean, I've not in that situation, obviously. But back, you got to remember, this is back when Blockbuster was actually relevant. So back when I was in a Blockbuster once, I found $80 in cash just sitting next to a VHS tape on the floor. Then nobody's around. I kept the money.
Again, you didn't see it fall out of somebody's pocket.
Right, but am I a bad person that I should have taken that up to the front desk and said, I'm sorry, somebody seems to have dropped $80 folded nicely together out of their pocket or purse. Would you please see if anybody is missing this money? I said, there's nobody around? You know what? I'm poor. That $80, that's going to fill my gas tank up for 3 fucking weeks. Got to remember, gas wasn't as expensive back then. I'm like, fuck this. I'm keeping the $80. Am I a bad person for doing that, Jay?
I'm not saying that. What if it fell out of somebody's pocket and you were in line and you picked it up, then yes, but that's not the same situation.
I don't know. I think you and I are arguing semantics. And
I know.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
I think if you saw it fall out of pocket and you picked it up, she snatched it up. It's not like, you know, they're looking around. I'm sorry. It's wrong.
Well, Jillian, I'm not arguing with you to the point where I'm saying you're wrong. I'm saying you and I just disagree on the semantics of this one.
Right.
So this is one we actually kind of agree to disagree, if that makes any weird sense.
Yeah, I'm not all like, how could you think that? But I don't know. Again, it depends on the laws of the state, too, because different states have different laws. I mean, she blatantly, you know, saw that it fell out of the person's pocket, so technically... It is theft in a way. I mean, if I drop my purse and someone comes up and snatches it and runs away, I dropped it. So
I think that's,
or if you leave. Okay, what about if I left my purse in the shopping cart and I went to, and I wasn't paying attention, and I went into, you know, the next lane of the, or not the lane, but the next little aisle, and I was like, oh, I need this, and I come back to the shopping cart and somebody stole my purse. Is that not stealing? Like, nobody there.
I would say a whole purse is different than a wallet.
Doesn't matter than a whole wallet.
I've found wallets sitting on the ground before.
I'm just saying there's no difference between a purse and a wallet. It's still something that holds your shit, holds your money.
Well, and then what I would say, and I'm not trying to sound this mean against you, but you used yourself in this situation. I would say it's your own kind of dumbass fault for leaving your purse in your cart unattended.
I understand, but my point is that stealing? In your opinion, is that stealing?
I would say yes and no, depending on how long you were away from the cart.
You're arguing just because it's a wallet versus a purse. It's the same situation.
No, I'm arguing that because the guy dropped it. See, in your situation, you left your purse. This guy dropped it. Why is it this lady's responsibility to tap him on the shoulder and say, "Excuse me, sir, you dropped this"?
It's not, but if you take it, it's still stealing. If I walk away for 30 seconds and I'm in the other aisle grabbing, you know, a towel or something at a store and somebody comes up and takes my purse, it's still stealing. You're taking something that doesn't belong to you. It has identification, has everything. It's not, you know, $20 lying on the floor with nobody around. I'm sorry. It's the same situation, whether you're taking a wallet. She didn't just find a wallet on the ground and take it and not, you know, call the authorities with whatever ID. She saw it fall out of pocket. Now, would she be legally obligated to be like, "Hey, you dropped this," but the fact that she picked it up is completely different. It's the same situation that if you see a purse there, it's not your purse, and you take it, you are still stealing. Be like, "Well, there was nobody around. I took it." You're still fucking stealing.
I think legally that varies from state to state. Some states that would be stealing, some states it would not.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, as for, you know, situation, it's the same situation. So you can't say one's okay and one's not, because a wallet holds the same things as a woman's purse. They just choose to put more in it, but it's still taking something that doesn't belong to you when you blatantly saw who it belongs to. But anywho, we're spending way too much time on this topic.
We've got some more serious stuff coming up. We're going to take a break real quick, Jillian, and then we'll, after Heart Attack, we'll come back with some relatively more serious but still somewhat goofy in the "what the fuck" category.
Not necessarily goofy, but just like, really?
Well, it's not serious like, you know, our civil rights being taken away like we've talked about before kind of stuff.
Caution. If you are turned off by the truth of what's happening on the street today, turn your attention away. Nigger Lover, the movie they tried to stop. So real, so violent, so brutally honest that only a few theaters dare to show it. Nigger Lover, where black and white passions explode. The chase that begins with love and ends with violence. Not just another black movie, different than all the rest. See Nigger Lover, the movie they tried to stop.
All right, and we're back with the unfortunately named, not because of you, but because of Todd's incident, Heart Attack, where we're not going to play up this week, huh, Hart?
I just hope Todd gets better. Todd, wherever you are, big fella, take it easy, man. You know, when you have a heart attack, when you have a medical emergency, there's going to be people that place demands on you, even though you've gotten sick, and you're going to feel like, "Hey, I need to get back into the game." Dude, you're benched. Listen to me. You're fucking benched. So Todd's wife, Todd's family, you guys tie him to a bed. Don't let him go back to work. Make sure the big fella heals up, because we care about you, Todd. And I really enjoy doing this show on Jackalope Radio.
And we enjoy having you. But you said you were a little under the weather this week, huh, Hart?
Yeah. You know, I've been burning the candle at both ends and shot for too long. While you guys were probably listening to the show, I was shooting a new episode of True Crimes with Burl Barr and Don Waldman. True Crimes is a real crime show that we do at American Horrors. And for those that haven't heard this show before, hi, I'm R.D. Fisher, and as the host of American Horrors, the world's best 24-hour uncut horror channel, available at www.filmon.com. I had to get the plug in, because I know we normally forget by the end of the show.
Yeah, hey, I try and remember. I do my best, all right?
No, I forget, too. I get involved in the conversation. You know, I love doing American Horrors. It's something that is my job. I do Heart Attack for fun. I enjoy hanging with Josh. I like Jillian. I like the guys at Jackalope Radio. But my real home is American Horrors, you know, and so I'm wrapped up in the world of horror. And we do a segment called Your Real World Horror of the Day segment over at our Facebook page. So that's right, folks. We are on Facebook. Thing and talk about politics, because I feel a lot of what's going on in the news scares me more than what's in the horror films. And I think actually that's kind of the purpose of horror, is it helps you deal with a lot of what's going on in your head that you can't deal with in the world. You know, things that scare you, things that you're afraid of, you can kind of process that through like a horror film. You could strap yourself in the roller coaster and kind of scream your head off for a little while and then feel better and then, you know, have some power sex with the wife.
Okay, that's a way to look at it. we're not just making this a whole plug for American Horrors, but I'm going to bring up American Horrors right here. We were talking about, both just between us and on Facebook and stuff, about your competition. And there's another new horror channel I heard that's trying to get started up. Why can't, and I'm not sucking up to you, this is not because you and I work together, American Horrors is the only one that seems to be doing it right. It's going to be another one that shows cut movies and is going to be on, like, basic cable. Why do they keep trying this hard? Why can't anyone get it through their heads? No one wants to see the TV version of a horror film.
Yeah, you know, that's because I believe that most of the companies that create these channels, like Chiller or FearedNet, whatever, most of the companies behind these are publicly traded corporations. And a publicly traded corporation is enslaved to its shareholders because it has to constantly create more and more of a profit. More and more of a profit. It has to grind out every dime, every nickel, every cent has to be more. It's like a virus. And so at American Horrors, man, it's just me and my wife, Waka. And, you know, I love horror. And I put together a really good group of guys that are helping me out. There's this director, Chris Miller. We're going to be releasing his film Iron Horse and Carrion, experiment David Lynchian style horror films. And the thing is I'm doing this because it's my life's work. I've been in horror my whole life. I had a horror company that published comic books before I did this called Boneyard Press. You know, I worked in post-production. I'm not a lawyer who decided he wanted to run a movie company. I'm a filmmaker. I'm a horror writer. I'm a creator. And most importantly, I'm a huge horror fan. I'm a big consumer, you know. And I think that's one of the big differences right there.
It also brings up the question, just why has no one else before you had the balls to try this? To try the uncut horror channel?
Well, again, it comes down to horror deals with difficult subject matters. I mean, that's part of horror's game, is it pushes on taboo buttons. It goes into the darkness, you know. It goes out to the things that you don't want to deal with. People's guts coming out. The fact you shouldn't piss yourself when you die, you know. Death is kind of messy, and it really goes there, and that disturbs people. And the thing about horror is it's different for every person. Horror is very personal. It's much like comedy. Comedy's funny or it's not funny, and it's very cultural. It's about that person. You know, I can't take Animal House to China and expect some Chinese farmer to be enjoying Animal House. You know, oh, let me tell you what, John Belushi is so great. It's not going to work. And I think that's really the key right there is since it is a difficult subject matter, since it does trespass, you know, these companies want to Disney-fy everything and they want to scrub it out and they want to make their dollars and they don't want to offend anybody. And that's why you get such sanitized garbage as FearNet or Chiller. You know, American Horrors is uncut. And that means we have horror for levels of people, black and white Vincent Price films, you know, horror host shows. We have true crime shows. We have Mondo Vision, which is a great exploitation show that we do on Monday nights. So it's all fun stuff that we get into, that we dig. There's a great interview with the Jackass guys about how it all came together. And they're like, there was no plan. We just did what we liked. We just worked with what got us off and what excited us. And look where it went. And I think that's why no one's been able to truly imitate Jackass.
Well, and then it also, I remember in the early 2000s, there were two horror channels that were going to be starting up simultaneously, the Horror Channel and Horror.net. And both of those just kind of fell, I mean, you saw promos for them, and then they just fell apart.
I don't really know what happened to those guys. I know that once you start talking about money, people get greedy. You know, and the good thing for me is I'm a tight unit. My people, all the guys that work with me, my post-production guys that do all my editing, we have original programming, original interviews, news segments, you know, it's we create the content that we want to see. And I think that's the key. And I'm a professional. I'm not a guy who's making this in his basement. I'm a pro. I've been working in the industry for about 15 years. I've been a director for about 20 years. So and even the progression from comic books, you know, as a comic book artist, people don't even remember that I was a comic book artist. My writing overshadowed my art. I've been drawing comics since I was 5 years old. So to do storyboards for a film, my brain just thinks in storyboards automatically. I've got an advantage over my competition right there.
The Sci-Fi Channel is not even a real science fiction channel. Personally,
dude, Sci-Fi Channel is so corporate. Here's the thing, you guys at home got to understand. These channels are owned by these behemoths, these giant corporate behemoths. Go in and you're clear, and you will pitch the Sci-Fi Channel, and you'll have a meeting. And straight up, I'll tell you guys, they have no clue how to do scripted TV. To go and hire the Asylum as your in-house big snake guys, oh my God, you know, these guys at Sci-Fi don't know what the fuck they're doing. They don't have a fucking clue. It's because it's a bunch of dudes that were hired by a bunch of lawyers who happened to be working at the company that year. It's not like there's a consistent vision at Sci-Fi. It's just another corporate brand to be whatever the corporation wants it to be, not what the fan wants. I mean, at the end of the day, for American Horrors, I'm trying to make a party for horror fans. I want horror fans to be like, dude, I've heard about that movie. I've been wanting to see that movie forever. Hallelujah. It's on. Holy shit, it's uncut. Whoa, Living Dead Girl rocks. You know, and that's what I'm trying to do is I want people to go, wow, I never heard of Zach Green. Who's this guy? Who's Richard Powell up in Canada? There's Canadian filmmakers, and yeah, I'll tell America straight up, you better watch your asses, guys, because the Canadians are making some really kick-ass horror. I get submissions, and the stuff I'm getting from Canada is pretty top-notch pro, man. Pretty top-notch pro. Those guys up north are really kicking ass on the horror. So Americans, you got to knuckle down and start making some more professional shit. Enough of this girls tortured in a basement crap, guys. Let's get more original. And the one thing I will say to you filmmakers at home, when you are making your film, do not imitate an A film. Do not make a score that sounds like a major Hollywood production. Make the score that sounds like your movie so that when someone hears the music from your film anywhere else, they think of your film. Don't make it generic. And that's the big problem I'm hearing right now is these film scores, these submissions all have that schwing-schwang, over-sweetened, over-hyped. You see a knife go through the air, and it's got that swing. How do you make any noise? You know?
Speaking of imitators, have you seen that movie that I swore was a Saw movie? It's like called Sever or something like that. The cover, the logo, everything looks exactly like the first Saw poster. And I'm going, you're not even pretending you're not trying to ape a trend, are you?
No, they're all ripping each other off. You know, the person, I know that a lot of the guys that work at some of these major corporations, and they're just there for now. You know, it's just their job. A lot of these guys, they don't eat, breathe, and love horror. And then the people that are above them, they don't get it. Their corporate masters don't understand horror. And in fact, they're making my job easy. I mean, you could get American Horrors for as little as $1.95 a month. You could subscribe to American Horrors for just $1.95 a month. That's a 2 liter of Pepsi, right? And you could get it anywhere. You could be watching PC, iPhone, iPad. Anywhere you can get a Wi-Fi signal or be connected to the internet, you could be watching. And that's amazing now. Anywhere in the world, you take a trip to England, hey, man, you can still be watching American Horrors. And I know guys that have the channel on all day long.
FearNet sucks. I'm sorry. Monsters HD is not worth it. Chiller is a joke. And I have been criticized. People go, oh, you only say that because you work with Hart and you guys are friends. And I'm going, no, I mean that.
Well, the thing is what they don't understand is you can't do that. If you did that just to pacify me, then you would lose your credibility and you would lose your audience because your voice is about media and culture. So if you start selling out, like some people we know, like some websites we know that just sell their name so they could have a review on a big movie poster. I don't do that, and you don't do that. I love my stuff, and sure, every movie that's on the network, I can't say I love this movie, but I can say one of my buddies does, or I can see like value in it. Like I can see why someone wants this, and that's what's important, and that's why I think people should go to www.filmon.com. That's www.filmon.com and subscribe today.
TNT Jackson, sleek as a black cat, cool as a naked blade, that's TNT Jackson. This hit lady's charms will break both your arms. With a dynamite barge, she's a female hit squad. You best treat her fine or she'll shatter your spine. You know you've been kissed by her ebony fist when the blood from your face stains her diamond necklace. There's nobody blacker than this foxy attacker. If you can dig action, you'll get satisfaction from TNT Jackson. Rated R.
All right, Jillian, I sent you another story about the Sacred Hearts High School in Mount Pleasant, Michigan. The gist of the story, I mean, you and I will get into the details in a moment, but the gist of it, for just a quick overview, Dominic Sheehan Stahl was approached by the Academy to give the keynote speech at their graduation in May. And he's a former alumni of this school. Well, he had his invitation rescinded because they found out he's gay. No other reason. Not because what he had to say was no longer relevant. And I would like to point out, his speech that he was going to give, or his address that he was going to give, had nothing to do with homosexuality whatsoever. It was all about these people going into the future and becoming people in the real world. So him being gay is literally just, we don't want a faggot talking at our academy.
Don't use that word.
We're sorry.
Okay, let me say this again. I've talked about a lot coming from a Catholic background and almost all of my family being religious. I understand certain groups and certain people having very, very strong religious, you know, beliefs and just being, you know, completely against homosexuality. I could maybe understand the situation if it was like he was talking about, you know, anything about homosexuality and don't let your religion, you know, rule
right.
your life or something.
Which is,
that
which is
I
why
understand.
I pointed out that his speech had nothing to do
with
homosexuality.
I know, I'm reiterating.
I'm saying that for the audience. That's why I pointed that out at the beginning, because people might go, oh, well, he was, you know, pushing a gay agenda. No, he wasn't.
No, I know. So I could maybe understand if it's that situation. But it appears that this, you know, certain group of the not group. It appears this certain diocese of the school and parish, what have you, is so strict as they just, you know, shun any homosexuality, which you see extremes of it. And then you've got, you know, the other groups where parishes will, you know, it's kind of a live and let live and be like, I don't approve of homosexuality, but, you know, you're still a person. And this just seems to be on the extreme side of just very so strict, it's almost asinine. I guess maybe they fear that if they have a gay person come talking, then it's going to rub off on the kids. I don't fucking know what their reasoning is, but there's really no good reason this should happen. Again, it's a very private school and closed. I mean, essentially, they do have the right to do what they want. However, whether their decision was right is a different story.
Well, and then they even got more dick move-ish in this, too. They didn't even call Dominic to cancel. They called his mother and said he's no longer welcome there.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Jillian, and I'm not singling out Catholics here, but that is a cowardly fucking move. You can't even talk to this kid on the phone to tell him that you hate him because he's gay? You call his mom? Jesus Christ,
even that's
no pun
a
intended.
Weird. Like, I could see someone being cowardice and sending out a letter, but to call the person's mother, because it's an alumni. This isn't, you know, someone that just graduated high school. This is someone who's, you know, gone through. I'm not sure if it said how many years. I don't have the article up because my computer's being janky. But, you know, usually when you have alumni, it's, you know, a few years after the fact.
It says he graduated in 1998. So he's
okay, this is a recent
yeah,
article.
Yeah, it's a recent article. So he's like a 14-year alumni.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's one of those. I definitely don't agree with it. Unfortunately, legality issues. It is a parish. They have the right to do whatever they want. Not all Catholic dioceses are that closed-minded. It just seems that this one has a stick up their asses.
Well, but
so
see,
what can you do?
But see, no, and again, I'm not trying to single out all Catholics, or even this specific school, and what I'm about to say. But when are people going to get over this gay thing? So somebody is gay. Unless they're pushing the so-called gay agenda and, you know, talking about how, hey, if you go out and be gay, your life will be better. What's the fucking problem?
It's essentially the same as the race question. It's just, you know, it's same as racism. It's just sexual preference. People just have such a hate.
Jillian, I've got gay friends. I've got gay relatives. I treat them exactly the same as I do.
No, I'm not saying it's
normal
or right. I'm just saying, you're saying, when are we going to get over this? Well, look at racism. That's been around, you know, forever and a half. And it's just, it's kind of, I'm not saying it's exactly the same, but it is a prejudice against people of, you know, a homosexual orientation. So for someone to say, well, when are we going to get over this? It's like, well, let's get over race. I mean, it's just people are closed-minded and they're going to hate whatever they don't agree with to such a, you know, strong, quote unquote, their moral values.
Well, and then in the article, it also says that they did not want a gay person giving a keynote speech. Hey guys, I guarantee you, you've had at least one or two in the past. They just might not have been out of the closet.
Yeah.
You know, I guarantee you've had gay people speak at your school before. You just might not have known it at the time. Get over it. So on that,
like, I'm not saying by any means it's right. I mean, unfortunately, the diocese has the right to do whatever they want. And that's just the world we live in, where you've got people that are just so homophobic, they shun anyone with any kind of tendencies.
Speaking of schools, we're going to stick with that topic and go to Sequoia High School in Red City, Northern California. Basically, a student, he was in I believe you called it like the honors program, honors classes,
yeah, it's like
Jillian.
Honors English.
Okay. Well, basically, he had to sign an honesty pledge, which meant cheating is grounds for removal from any of the honors placement classes. Well, he was caught cheating, so they kicked him out of the honors classes. So his parents threw a fangasm and said, nope, we are suing you, because they aren't even debating that he cheated. They're saying he shouldn't be kicked out for cheating, even though he signed the honor pledge that said, it's okay to kick me out if I'm caught cheating. Just, this baffles me when this happens, Jay. It does.
For clarification, he was not kicked out of school. He was kicked out of the honors program. And this seems to be somewhat of a more, I don't want to say elite school, but they're very, you know, like signing the pledge, they're very serious about this shit. It's clearly, especially that the parents are so uppity about it, I would assume it's somewhat of a prestigious, you know, school. We had honors in our high school. I was actually going to be on it, but then you had to do like all of this charity work and I didn't have time, not to sound really bad, but there was a lot of stuff going on to where I just couldn't do it. So I was like, all right, you know, I just graduated regularly. They didn't even have you really sign a pledge other than saying you would do, you know, those certain things. But it was just kind of a given that if you're fucking cheating, you're kicked out of honors. Oh, it's called honor. But the point is, this person signed a pledge that said it is grounds for being kicked out of the honors class. If you, you know, cheat or have plagiarism, it says it is not tolerated. The parents are all, no, you know, he can be a teacher's assistant and do this as like other punishment. It's like, he fucked up, sorry. And they're like, oh, well, you know, he knows it's wrong, but he just, you know, he feels bad about it and the moral punishment is enough. It's like, no, I'm sorry. He cheated, and it's the whole point. So how honors classes go, and again, I don't know this particular school's specifics, but essentially it's an elevated group of classes. You'll have honors English, literature, you know, just depends on what they offer. And essentially it's a jump start so you can get into better colleges. It's essentially saying, okay, you know, instead of core curriculum, I went above and beyond. So there are a lot of standards that you have to follow, and there are rules of conduct, and this person, you know, the kid and the parents. So it wasn't just the kid signed and the parents are like, what? I didn't agree to that. The parents signed, the child signed, and it spells out for you. I mean, these parents have no case. It's blatantly a contract that says, you know, I will abide by these rules. He's not being expelled from school, but they're just all uppity, and I'm sure it's some, you know, my child's going to Princeton. Oh no, he won't be able to be in Princeton because he got fired from the honors classes. So, you know, it's there. They didn't expel him from school, but he got kicked out of honors. It would be the same thing as if you were using steroids in a sports program. Hell, we talked about that one chick who shaved her fucking legs before a swimming competition, and she got, like, suspended from the swimming team along with, like, the coach. So, you know, every organization, or just, you know, kind of specific grouping within schools do have rules and regulations. And if you don't follow the rules, and especially if you sign a contract, too bad. Sorry. So these people are literally, unless they have some badass like group of seven lawyers and like the judges in the pocket legally with the contract where it spells it out, they don't have a case. I'm sorry. Well, and it's just
There's an unintended side effect of this. Like you pointed out, they probably want the kid to stay in these classes so he can get into a better college.
Yeah, it's a code of conduct that you have to sign.
But don't you think bringing public attention to this and making it national news is going to tell any future college, hey, he cheated, and let's say for the sake of argument, they win and get the ruling overturned and he gets back into the classes. His college administrator is not going to go, well, you cheated, and the only reason that you stayed in the honor classes was because a lawyer said you could? I'm sorry.
Assuming they saw the story.
This kid is tainted now.
I doubt every college is going to hear from this story unless, I'm sure if they won, there would be some kind of amendment to saying this cannot be in his record or what have you.
But it's still in the news.
I understand that, but yeah, it is on the news. But every certain, you know, person of admissions is not necessarily going to hear of the story throughout the country. So there is a chance that, you know, it's not going to be on record. But again, he signed the conduct, the parents signed along with it. They're trying to say, you know, oh, well, you know, it was unclear. And they blatantly say in the article, you know, it clearly states any incident of cheating or plagiarism results in the student removal from the class with no exceptions. And they're trying to pull the whole, oh, the punishment is, you know, and the guilt is punishment enough. And he can do this instead and this. And they're just backpedaling because they know their son fucked up.
Pretty much. No,
that's pretty much all that's to it.
Now, for our last story, we have a couple others, but we're going to save them for another week because we don't have enough time. For our last one, this just sickens me. It's a mom in Katy, Texas, who put... Now, part of this is her own dumbassery, as Jillian pointed out to me.
Set it up before you say what the incident is, or it's going to sound really bad, so...
Okay. The mom in Katy, Texas, Kelly Clark is her name, she put up a video of her, I think it was 2-year-old son, dancing around in his diaper in the kitchen. She put it up for her family to see. For whatever reason, she didn't click private. Anyone
ignorance.
Could see it.
It's just ignorance of people who don't understand how the internet works and thinks everything is all, well, I'm going to share this with my family on Facebook, what have you. And the son is 9 now.
Well, right.
And I guess recently she decided to, you know, post and be like, oh, look, you know, he's so cute. And then essentially it had like 56 hits from her family and whatnot. And then suddenly went up to 3,000 and someone contacted her.
Almost overnight.
Yeah, and told her that it was put on a private YouTube channel listing essentially for pedophiles and people, you know, with like new kids and things. And even there was like a little 2-minute interview of her kind of telling her story. And it's kind of like, I mean, I feel burned in the way of like, you fucked up. But at the same time, it's like, really, lady? Really? I mean, I don't understand how someone can be that. And, you know, just thinking that, you know, that's okay. That's why a lot of things with like Facebook, things like that, people are sure to keep their, you know, things private so that public people can't look at pictures of their grandkids and nieces and nephews, because even if it's not an explicit half nude or diaper or what have you, there's still pedophiles that get off and be like, that's a pretty girl and she's, you know, fucking 4. So, you know, it's up to you to privatize your fucking life. And if you stick it on YouTube where there's, you know, 15 fucking million videos and you expect it not to get picked up. And she stated that, well, you know, I called the FBI and they can't do anything because, you know, once you upload something, you essentially give away the rights to it, which isn't technically true. But there is the old saying, once something is out there on the internet, you can never make it go away.
Right.
You can, you know, delete all of the copies of what have you, but there's always going to be, you know, the group of people or one person that still has, you know, a saved picture, saved whatever. And it's just going to, you know, like the videos on YouTube that get taken down for quote unquote copyright, you know, one gets taken down and like 5 more get posted. You can't make it go away. And for someone to post something like this is just sheer ignorance that, you know, maybe she didn't know about private or what have you, but to fucking put it on YouTube, you can't tell me if she had the wherewithal to put it on YouTube that she wouldn't understand how YouTube works.
But,
you know,
but
I just don't understand how ignorant she can be.
But there's also the fact that I do feel bad for her son. because of his mom's stupidity, he's getting jerked off to by a bunch of sickos out there. That doesn't just, like, sicken you in the pit of your stomach a little bit?
It does, and hopefully she didn't fucking tell him that or, like, let him know that, you know, I mean, yeah, she can take the video down, but it's never gonna be gone. I think when he's older, she does need to tell him so that he doesn't come across it, because that would be way more traumatic, you know, an awkward conversation. But I do think, you know, it is something that can come back around and bite them in the ass, that they do need to have a talk when he's old enough to understand.
You can't. Your mom's an idiot, kid.
About it. Yeah. Well, and it's just, you know, I mean, honestly, you know, if the situation was like, oh, okay, yeah, you know, you were dancing around in your diaper and I posted it and mom fucked up and, you know, this is out there, I would be, depending how old I was, I'm sure if I was like 16, what have you, I'd be freaking out. But how, I mean, it's like, can't fucking do anything about it. I mean, maybe I'm a little desensitized from like the website and everything and the wifesploitation, but at the same time, it's like, there's sick people out there who are going to do anything to any kind of media. You can post a picture of your, I mean, I'm sure there's 16-year-olds who have their public pictures, public Facebook accounts, and they've got the pictures of them in essentially underwear and the little, like, you know, ducky prissy face. Like, they have a, I forget what it's called, but it's essentially, it's like the pretty girl pose where you do it at like such an angle that it doesn't show any kind of weight or what have you. And it's known as like the standard for profile pictures that people take. And I mean, you can't tell me, I mean, I get, you know, bots, things like that. I see posts from people's friends and comments and I'm like, oh damn, you know, it's like these people are really young and very, very provocative pictures. So you can't tell me that there's not unscrupulous people jacking off to pictures of them just because it's public. I mean, anybody is going to find anything out there, and this just happened to be in the form of a video and learned her fucking lesson, and unfortunately it's going to be out there forever. I'm not saying that, like,
also,
it's not a big deal. It is a big deal, but at the same time, it's like, dude, I don't understand. I mean, she looked kind of young, like maybe in her 20s, and she is a 9-year-old.
Well, and then there is also one other thing that this is kind of tangentially related, but have you ever seen that like stupid, you know how much I hate like internet memes and shit like that?
Yes.
The one that's got the retarded kid and then it says, I can count to potato.
No, I haven't seen that one, but I saw the Goosebumps one or whatever, where it looks like a girl with Down syndrome is holding up Goosebumps, and I hate when people post that on the profile picture. It really makes me mad.
Well, then this one's probably going to make you mad, too. The mother of the retarded girl that's in the I can count to potato picture that everyone is doing came out against, you people are exploiting my retarded child. So now people are taking the picture of the mom and making that into a meme about her being offended about her daughter being used in the I can count to potato picture. And I'm going, you know what, internet, do you have no scruples? Is nothing fucking off limits? You're picking on a fucking, like, 9-year-old retarded girl. And then you're picking on her for having seen the picture of you picking on her. I'm sorry, but it makes me sick to think of anybody who finds that funny. Basically, and I'm going to say this right on the show, if you're a listener to the show and you find that kind of shit funny, stop listening, because you're a sick fuck and I don't want you to listen to my show. I know that might be harsh, but that shit is not funny to me. I don't know if it is to you, Jillian, or not, but that's not funny to me.
It's not funny. It's one thing if you've got, you know, a person that's just making a stupid face that's clearly not, you know, any kind of situation. They're making, you know, just a dumb face and they put, you know, a meme under it, what have you. But when the person is clearly has some kind of mental issue or some kind of, you know, whether it's a deformity, wheelchair, what have you, I mean, unless they took the picture of themselves and did it, that's fucking wrong. Like, everybody goes and finds weird pictures on Google and will put, you know, little memes from funny pictures. And unfortunately, there's sick fucks out think it's funny.
It fucking pisses me off, Jillian. Because when I saw that, I'm going, okay, you've got a little retarded girl. You're already making fun of her. And then now her and her mom are basically saying, please stop. We are offended that you do this. So then they say, you know what? Fuck that. We're amping this shit up. You people disgust me, you 4chan motherfuckers.
That actually happens a lot. Like, when somebody comes out and is like, hey, please don't do this. And it's a legitimate thing, not like with the derpy thing or, you know, reading into things and
Sorry, I go to My Little Pony because there's a lot where they do that. And they say, like, Rainbow Dash is gay because she likes sports and her mane is rainbow. So that's just kind of what's on the top of the list.
I heard
like,
you
really?
On Geek Juice. I heard you on Geek Juice Media about the little I'm sorry, it's not my fault video that made you cry.
It is. It's like the saddest thing ever. But yeah, if you guys are wondering what we're talking about, it's on YouTube and it's Save Derpy. And it's a set. Nobody cares. They're listening to What the Fuck. Nobody cares about My Little Pony here. Anyway.
We've already had the derpy controversy anyway.
We did. And I mean, the issue is, like I said, with Rainbow Dash, she's a very sports jockey pony and her mane is rainbow. So they're being like, blah, 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 it's gay. And it's like, even if it was a gay pony, what's wrong with that? Fuck you. But anyway, my point is, you know, people take things out of context all the fucking time, but then people will also take things, you know, that are legitimately wrong, not just reading into things, but you take something that would be like taking a picture of, or like, hell, the PETA thing with the amputee guy.
Yeah.
And they put, you know, the shark attack thing, and it was essentially, I forget what it was, but it was essentially like a serves you right type statement. That's wrong. You know, you're taking a situation that's real and you're exploiting it. And that is not okay. Speaking of memes, though, I'm sorry, I do have to say this because it won't apply anywhere else, I believe, because I already said the thing about, like, the pretty girl poses, and this goes with it, and it did become a meme out there, and it kind of serves her right. She's in the bathroom. I mean, she doesn't look like she's 16. I don't know how old she is, but she's taking a picture in the bathroom. She's in her underwear and bra, and the toilet is open,
and
there's a
huge turd
in the toilet.
Yes, I've seen that one.
Yeah, and so that one, it's like, all right, you had that coming. But otherwise... You know, a lot of these memes out there are wrong.
Jillian, where can people find JZJ?
I am on Twitter, Mrs. JZ Jones, Facebook, Jillian Zarowski Jones, and you can find me at thecinemasnob.com on very different shows and vlogs, along with my husband and friends.
And you should go find Geek Juice Radio episode number 19, where she guest starred and went all off on her ponies.
I didn't go off on ponies. That sounds grossly sexual.
Not the way it was intended, but okay. And you can find me at 1201beyond.com, 1201beyond@gmail.com, my weekly column, Sanity is Razor Thin, at geekjuicemedia.com, and my new monthly column in Scene Magazine, Shadows of Pop Culture, which you can find at scenenewspaper.com. Good night.
Night.
You've been difficult all night.
You're difficult.